Thank you very much for the introduction, Haryadi. So the work I'm going to talk about today is joint work with two co-authors at Google, Raghav Lagisetti and Arif Merchant, who's also here today. So the goal of our work was basically to figure out what does flash reliability look like in the field in production systems. And if you wonder why flash in particular, the answer is pretty straightforward. As more and more data is living on flash, the reliability of our data directly depends on the reliability of the underlying flash. And then there's the extra angst that people have around flash, around wear out, and what does that do to reliability. So our main motivation was really that if you look at what we currently know about flash reliability, all our knowledge is really based on lab tests that were done in lab settings under controlled workloads using techniques such as accelerated live testing. There's only one single study that looks at how do flash drives fail in real systems in production environments. So our goal was to get a much broader picture of how flash does fail in the field. So here's the data that we used. It's actually a very rich data set. The data was collected across Google's entire fleet. It spans 6 years. It includes 10 different drive models. What's really neat about this data is that, at least for all the models that I'm including in my talk today, they all use the same FTL and the same ECC. So that basically means when we see differences between different models, it's really due to the underlying flash rather than differences in the ECC or the FTL. The chips come from 4 different vendors. It includes all the common types, MLC, SLC, EMLC, and there is very rich data available on what happened to those drives in the field. And that includes data on repair and replacement events, things like bad blocks, bad chips. It also has a lot of data on a wide variety of different types of errors that these drives have seen, in addition to information on workload. So that's a lot of data, and there's very little time in this talk. So what I'll tell you in this talk is a few highlights of our results. For the full results, obviously, take a look at the paper. So we started with a very high-level look. We looked at how often do flash drives get replaced in the field, replaced due to suspected underlying hardware problems. So what this graph, first graph of the talk, shows you is what percentage of drives was replaced annually due to suspected hardware problems. And what you see is, depending on the model, replacement rates between 1.5% to 2.5%. And you might wonder, is that high, is that low? So it's useful to maybe put that in perspective to how often hard disks fail. And if you look at the literature, if you look at published data, you find a pretty broad range, going from all the way as low as 2% to up to 20%. But the averages seem to be around 4 to 5%. So clearly, what we see is that the flash disks in our study have significantly lower replacement rates. So that's the first good news of this talk. One thing to mention here is that partially these very low rates might be due to a mechanism that those drives in our study have that allows them to tolerate a certain number of chip failures. So if a chip fails, the drive just maps it out and finishes, stops using that particular chip. We looked at it in a little bit more detail, and we found that around 1% of all drives per year develop bad chips. So these are drives that, without the mechanism in place to tolerate chip failures, would have been replaced. I think I put this a little lower because that seems very loud. So that was replacement rate. So that basically tells you how long was the drive in the field before it was replaced because it went bad. We were also interested in what happens to those drives while they actually are in the field during their useful period of life. So we looked at what are all the different types of errors that these drives report and which ones do actually happen frequently in practice. And we grouped all the different errors that the drives report into 2 categories. The first category are transparent errors. So these are errors that the drive essentially can mask internally and hide from upper layers. And then there are non-transparent errors which the drive cannot hide. So transparent errors would be things like correctable errors. That means there was a number of bits corrupted, but the drive internal ECC could correct it. Then there are things like read and write retries, where a read or write operation initially failed, but the drive internally retried and then succeeded. And there are erase errors, which basically means a block failed to be erased. So these are transparent errors. Non-transparent errors are things like uncorrectable errors. So too many bits were corrupted for the ECC to be able to correct it. There are final write errors, where even after retrying, a write is still failing. Then there are meta errors, which means drive internal metadata could not be accessed, and timeout errors where the drive failed to reply in a timely manner. So what I wanted to know is what percentage of drives sees in their lifetime these different types of errors. So what are the errors that we really should worry about? And this is sample data for one particular drive model that's somewhat representative for most models in our study. So what we see, first of all, that's maybe the not so surprising part, is that by far the most common type of error are correctable errors. Nearly 100% of all drives see correctable errors. That's why we have ECC. But what is more worrisome is if you look at the second most common type of error, because that's actually a non-transparent error type. That are uncorrectable errors. So depending on the particular model that you look at, a quarter to more than a half of all disks see at some point in their life uncorrectable errors. And 2 to 6 drive days out of every 1,000 drive days experience an uncorrectable error. So that is clearly a significant rate. And if you want to put that in perspective by comparing with hard disk drives have been reported to have around 3% of drives in a population ever seeing sector errors. So that is way lower. We're talking about order of magnitude difference. So in case you're wondering, there are some other somewhat common error modes that I don't have time to talk about. Write, retry, for example, erase errors, final write errors. These typically are symptoms of bad blocks or bad chips, and we discuss those in the paper. I can't talk about them in the talk because of time limitations. So given this high rate of errors, non-transparent errors, the obvious question is what makes things go worse? So how do different factors impact error rates? And we looked at a bunch of different factors that we did actually have data on, and that includes the obvious suspect, that is wear out due to a large number of program erase cycles. There's technology, MLC versus SLC, there's lithography, age, workload. We're looking at all these different factors, and we're asking how do they affect flash reliability. So to evaluate reliability, we need some metrics. We use two metrics. The first one is the very widely used standard metric, ARBER. That's the raw bit error rate. That means the number of corrupted bits that you see per number of bits that you're reading. So that's ARBER. We also look at the probability that a drive within a given time period will see an uncorrectable error. And you might wonder why we're using probabilities rather than using something like Uber, which is the more traditional way of measuring uncorrectable errors. And we shall see in the talk why we're not doing that, why we're going with probabilities instead. So let's look at the first factor here. The first factor on our list, the common suspect, is wear out. So what's the effect of wear out? That is the number of program erase cycles that a drive has seen on reliability. And if you look at literature, there's actually wide agreement that as the number of P cycles increases, ARBER goes up exponentially with the P cycles that a drive has seen. So we looked at our data. We included all the 6 drive models where we had enough data to span a relatively large range of P cycles. And we're showing on this graph how ARBER does change as a function of P cycles. And if you look at that graph, you make two observations. One is, first of all, that there are large differences across the different models, and we'll talk about possible reasons for why that might be the case in a minute. But what you also notice is that while ARBER does increase with P cycles, the rate of increase looks much more linear than exponential, and we verified that with curve fitting. So compared to the literature and theoretical models, linear rather than exponential increase, which I guess in some way is good news as well. So another thing that's very interesting to note here is there's always this concern what happens when drives hit the PE cycle limit, so the limit that the vendor specifies, which is the point in time when they become unstable. So for nearly all the drives on this picture, that was 3,000 PE cycles. But you observe for the drives where you have data past that, there's no sudden drop. Drives don't suddenly fall off a cliff because they've passed this limit. Instead, ARBER continues to increase, but linearly, not very suddenly. And all these observations are actually very similar if you look at the graph on the right that shows you the daily probability of experiencing uncorrectable error as a function of R. So the same observations, linear increase rather than exponential increase, and no sudden spikes once you hit the p-cycle limit of 3,000. So moving on to the second type, the factors that we had on our list. How much does it matter whether the flash is SLC versus MLC, where obviously SLCs are a lot more expensive, and in return, they promise higher reliability. So going back to the picture that we had looked at before, the arborways on there, the red lines in the bottom are actually the two SLC drives. All the others are MLC drives. So it's very obvious that arbor rates are clearly lower for SLC drives than for the MLC drives. So what's interesting, though, if you look at the second graph from the previous slide that shows uncorrectable errors, if you look at the one drive that has actually the worst uncorrectable error behavior, the red one that has the spike very early on there and goes up, that's actually an SLC drive. We had data for two more SLC models that are not on this graph because we didn't have a wide enough range of P cycles for those two models. But out of those two other models, one of the two was also much worse than any one of the MLC models. So what's interesting is that for uncorrectable errors, it seems that SLC doesn't really buy you that much extra. And remember again that all these drives use the same ECC. So those differences are not because there are differences in the ECC used in the different drives. We also looked at a few other error modes. We find, for example, that SLC drives also don't have lower repair or replacement rates. So moving on to one other factor. Everybody worries about lithography. As density increases, error rates are expected to go up. So let's see whether we can see that effect in our data. So looking at the arbor rates here, if you look at the SLC drives, so again, that's the two red lines there. The one that has the higher error rates actually happens to be also the one that has the smaller lithography. And if you look at the MLC drives, so all the non-red ones, the one that has by far the highest arbor rates is actually the only one that has a 43 instead of the 50 nanometer lithography. So results look up to here, kind of what you would expect, smaller lithography, higher error rates. Now, interestingly, if you move to the uncorrectable errors on the right, you actually see, if you again look at the red line there and the blue line, which are the smallest lithographies in their class, they don't do particularly worse than all the others. They're kind of the same. So interestingly, lithography has not such a dominating effect when it comes to uncorrectable errors. So finally, one thing that we wanted to look at is we looked at wear out, where wear out is defined by number of P cycles. We also wanted to know, does it matter how long the drive has been in the field? So does age, does calendar age actually matter? And the problem is that obviously the time you've been in the field is correlated with the number of P cycles the drive has. So to separate these two facts, what we did is we took all our data points, we took all the drive days that we have in our measurement data, and we divided into two groups, one that are the old drives and one that are the newer drives. And for each of these two groups separately, we plot their arbor rate against their PE cycles. So now we can look at we can keep PE cycles constant and compare only the difference in age and what effect that has. And what you see is that the line for the older drives is clearly higher than that for the younger drives. So it shows that age, just defined as how long you have been in the field and you have been used, and not how intensively you have been used, even for flash where it is known to be a problem, has an effect. So the last group of possible factors that I want to look at is what's the effect of workload. Not workload as in wear out, but workload as in it's known that, for example, read operations, write operations might disturb neighboring cells, read disturb errors, program disturb errors, erase operations might be executed incompletely and leave behind errors. And these have all been demonstrated in lab studies, so these things can happen. What has not been demonstrated is whether those do actually happen in the field and whether they are significant. So we looked at correlations between the number of read, write, erase operations in a given month and what the arbor, the rate of correctable errors was in that month. And what we do find is that there is actually evidence of redisturb errors for two disk models, not for all of them. So this is a model-dependent effect. There's no effect of erases or writes. So clearly in the field, that's not what dominates error rates. Again, uncorrectable errors behave differently. So workload has no effect on uncorrectable errors. And that's not even error rates. If I look at just the number of read, write, erase operations and the number of uncorrectable errors, or the number of operations and the actual probabilities of errors, there's no correlation no matter what way we looked at it. So clearly for uncorrectable errors, these error modes up here don't seem to be a major factor. But it also means one other thing, and that is, if you define your, if you measure the likelihood of uncorrectable errors by using Uber, where you take the uncorrectable errors and you divide it by the number of errors that you, the number of bits that you have read, this metric is not really very meaningful because you're normalizing the number of errors by a factor that has no correlation with it. So a system that has a very high number of reads will have an artificially low number or rate, Uber rate. So for that reason, Uber is not really very meaningful if you're trying to compare different systems and you want to know how reliable are the underlying flash devices. It tells you more about the workload than it tells you about the errors. So finally, there's that's a problem. With all measurement studies, you don't have information on everything that's going on in the system. So the previous talk showed that, for example, environmental various environmental factors are really important when it comes to hard disk drive reliability. And that's one factor that might affect flash as well. That's one of the things we had no data on. There are other things like workload patterns and how they affect reliability. So there are a bunch of things that we don't have data on, but we still wanted to know how much of an effect these things might have. And we were actually able to find evidence that there are other factors that matter. So what we did is we looked at a group of drives that are all from exactly the same model, but deployed in different data centers. So different data centers could have different environmental conditions. They could have different workload patterns. And what we find is, as you can see in this graph here, that the error rates for the exact same disk model can vary widely depending on which cluster this drive is used in. So that tells us clearly, and that's a frustrating message when you're doing measurement studies, there are other factors that we cannot account for in our data that do matter, and that maybe somebody else can look at in future work. Okay, so taking one step back from the individual factors that affect disk reliability and looking at more the bigger picture, and that is, why do we even care about Arbor? As long as errors are correctable, why are they relevant? And they are relevant, I think, because Arbor measures overall drive reliability, right? So there's lots of papers that rely on projections like this, where you have your Arbor on the x-axis, and from there you try to predict, if I used, depending on whatever strength ECC, what would be my Uber rate that I get. And we wanted to ask, so how realistic is this mapping in practice, actually, given that we've seen that uncorrectable errors often behave quite differently from correctable errors? So does this mapping really exist in reality? Does Arbor, higher Arbor mean higher uncorrectable errors? So we looked at individual disk drives, all from the same model, and we plotted the Arbor of a drive against the fraction of drive days that this drive has seen uncorrectable errors. That's one way we looked at the problem. That's what this scatter plot here shows. And it doesn't take a lot to see that there's really no correlation. We verified that statistically. We looked at it in different ways. So for example, we looked also what happens if you look at, rather than a whole drive, what if you look at individual drive days? So do individual drive days that have higher Arbor have a higher rate of uncorrectable errors? And again, there was no correlation. So no matter which way we slice the data, Arbor just didn't seem to be a very good predictor of uncorrectable errors. And that is kind of worrisome because in a lot of work currently, we rely on using Arbor, measuring Arbor, which is easy to measure in the lab, and from there projecting what the Uber rates or the uncorrectable error rates would be in practice. It might also mean something else that's interesting. It might also mean that maybe uncorrectable errors are just caused by other mechanisms than correctable errors, and that would also explain that they react to different factors differently. So at this point, you might get a bit frustrated saying, OK, these uncorrectable errors, lithography was not a major factor, the flash type, MLC, SLC was not a major factor, R was also not correlated with them. So what is predictive of uncorrectable errors? And one thing we thought about is, are maybe other previous errors of any type, because there are lots of different types of errors that these drives report, are any other previous errors maybe predictive of later uncorrectable errors? So to look at that question, what we did is we first looked at, that's for one particular, an example for one particular disk model here, for an average month in this whole data set, so looking at all the disk months, in average month, what is the probability of seeing an uncorrectable error? That's the little red bar. And then we looked at what is the probability of an uncorrectable error in a month that follows an error of any one of the different types that the drives report. So that's what you see on the x-axis, the labels on the x-axis, and that's what the green bars show. The yellow bars show you if you have had, once you've had ever previously in this disk life, any one of these errors, what is in the following month, in each of the following months, the probability of an uncorrectable error. What you can see here is very clearly that pretty much any type of previous error increases significantly the probability of seeing an uncorrectable error. So what that also means is that maybe it's possible to predict uncorrectable errors based on maybe P cycles and other errors you've seen in the past. That's something that we're exploring currently. Okay, so summarizing the key points. We see a very significant rate of non-transparent errors, significantly higher, orders of magnitude higher than what you see for hard disk drives. That basically means, given that many of us are moving to all flash systems, it's something you should take into account when building your systems on top of an all flash system. To some degree, these are predictable, and that's maybe something that you can exploit when protecting against those errors. What we also saw, and that's a more general message, really in many different aspects, what we observed in the field was different from what people had previously assumed. So for example, the increase with P cycles looks much more linear than exponential. We find that SLC, when it comes to non-transparent errors, like uncorrectable errors, which are the ones that you care about, SLC really doesn't buy you so much more over cheaper MLC drives. We found that Arbor is not predictive of uncorrectable errors. So if you're doing experiments in the lab, you measure Arbor, and based on that you assume you know what uncorrectable error rates are, you might have to come up with different ways of doing that. That just summarizes the results in this talk. So there's a lot of stuff in the paper that I haven't talked about. Bad chips, bad blocks, factory bad blocks, rate of repair and replacement. We look at how do projections that were made before drives went in the field on the Arbor, how predictive or accurate are those, and many other things. So look at the paper for those, and I'm happy to take any questions if there are any.
Surendra from Datrium. You mentioned you used your own FTL. So can you tell me a little bit more about what that FTL is optimized for, like endurance, performance, speed? Why is it?
It's optimized for Google's workloads. So that's all I can tell you. So the drives are custom drives that use commodity chips, but everything around those chips is developed at Google by a group at Google. So I'm not allowed to tell you details about the FTL or the ECC, but you would assume if it's developed by Google, it's made to optimize for their workloads.
Do you have Arbor numbers for MLC and SLC that are normalized against dollars per gigabyte? Are those lines looks still very different when you factor in the cost?
That's a good question, and I don't have dollar amounts. The problem is also that, so in order to do measurement studies, you have to look at somewhat older drives, right? Because you need, if you want to explore, for example, reliability across the whole P cycle spectrum, you need drives that are a little bit older. So these are also drives that are now 4 or 5 years old. So the price would, even if I knew the price that they were worth when they were put in the field, it would be different now, so it's kind of hard to say.
So you showed a difference between drives you called, you know, old drives and new drives.
Yeah.
I mean, how much of that is a result of just the physical age of the drive and how much of that is due to changes in technology over the time.
So yeah, that's a good question. I should have clarified that. So these are all drives from the same model. So physically, all these drives are identical. It's just that I'm looking at some data points that are collected when a drive is in its, say, third year, and I'm looking at other data points that were collected when the drive is in its first year, for example. But the drives are the same, the FDL is the same, everything else is the same.